Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
That's a wonderful song. Thank you, Jesus, so much. I was at the kitchen sink today. I had really muddy boots from cutting up trees in the mud, and didn't have time to clean them until today, and I was just minding my own business, and the Lord started talking to me about Haggai, the book of Haggai, and I was like, you know, I'm not following what you're saying, and so I stopped what I was doing. I finished up and stopped, and then I just tucked away for a little while, and I pulled out the Bible, and I read the book, and for those of you that are familiar, it's a quick read. So just a couple pages, and but there's a lot in there. And as I meditated and pondered and talked over with what the Lord was trying to get me to understand, I felt like it was a message for us tonight to help some of us that are still struggling with things in our life. And, you know, one thing I love about the Lord is, you know, He'll try any way possible to lead us to the living waters. You know, and He'll try any way possible to get us to understand truth. And I just love that about Him. Who else is like that? You know, I'd be tired and crabby if I was God. I'd be like, you didn't get it by now, forget it, you know. But He's so kind and loving, and He never gives up. And I think, you know, one of the reasons is because He sees who we are. You know, we look at our stumbling and fumbling and, you know, measure ourselves on, you know, well, I did good today, well, I blew it today. And He doesn't even consider that stuff. He just wants to fellowship with us and just love on us and be in communion with Him. But meanwhile, we've got this stinky flesh that we drag around that tries to control us and manipulate us and overtake us. And most of the time we cave and fall in. Can we just be honest? You know, it's a job to discipline our flesh. And the Lord just told me to take my shoes off, so I'm gonna, excuse me. So one of the things when I was, you know, I'm gonna spend more time in the book because there's a lot that He's showing me personally and for the body. And when I was praying earlier today, you know, a lot of people I know, some people are really, they got some stuff on their plate. There's some hard stuff that they're facing. And first of all, I don't know how anybody can do it without knowing Jesus Christ. And I remember the days when I didn't know Him, when I was young and foolish. And that life was hard to live. And it was task burdened. And I never saw mercy. I never saw grace. And I never experienced breakthroughs. They were temporary carrots to keep me in the physical realm of chasing the carrots. And it never satisfied. And so, you know, I know there's, first of all, let me just clear this up. I'm talking to everyone, okay? So don't poke your spouse tonight. And don't go home in condemnation. You know, she's picking on me. I'm not. I'm trying to help you hear a different perspective of some of the stuff that goes on in the natural that we kind of need to deal with, because things are changed. If you haven't realized, you know, it's kind of like fresh manna from heaven. Leftovers just don't work with God. They never have. He does not serve leftovers, never. And so some of the things I've noticed in my life, like the ways I pray or the ways that I used to do things, they don't work anymore. Even though they're spiritual and good, God is requiring all of my heart. And you know why? Because I asked Him. I laid down and said, do whatever you want with me. I am yours. I want to be a vessel for your good pleasure. I want to be the little clay pot that you pick up off the shelf and use me anytime you want. And when I say use me, I'm not talking preaching. I'm talking communion with Him, fellowship with Him. I just want to be with Him. And so that is my heart. Now, that was not always my heart. And then some people are like, well, that's not my heart. I want the goodies. I want the blessings of God. But I also want some things in the natural because they're passions. And so that's where there becomes a problem. There, you know, because oftentimes passions are really idolatry camouflaged as a passion or a gifting, a natural ability. All that stuff is haste, stubble, and rubbish. It's all going to burn up regardless if it's good works or not. If it's not of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to burn. And so I'm saying that because we all have been, you know, we've all grown into our personalities, so to speak. Now, when I say that, we can grow into God as well. You know, some of our personalities aren't that great if you if you think about it, or if you, you know, we all put on our church face when we're here. Yeah, blessed and highly favored, yes, you know. But at home, sometimes we're mean and nasty. And I don't mean that like you're beating your spouse or anything like that. I mean, it's just a personality character trait that needs to be renewed or transformed. And so I deal with this too. So don't think I'm like also holy. I deal with my own struggles and issues every day. And I love correction. I don't know why. I hated it as a kid. I hated it as an adult. But I love holy correction. It brings transformation. It brings change. And it brings the blessings of God in my life. And so this pain may be for a little while, but his glory, if we faint not, if we go through the fire of transformation and burn out the dross of our own self and our selfishness, there's a purity that begins to form inside of us or come out of us that it draws the attention and favor of God. It draws the blessings of the Lord. And you can't pay for that. You can't, like, you know, you can't negotiate. This is something that is just a gift from the Lord because you show up. And you know, one of those songs that was talking about, you know, crucifying the heart, you know, like, you know, that I can tell when I need to say that prayer. You know, I got calluses on my heart, Lord, remove the calluses. Here I am. You know, sometimes the winds of the world cause us to get calluses on our heart. And sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't. But how I know it is I get a little gruff, or I'm not as loving as I should be. And, you know, I never was a loving person to begin with. So when God's love started to flow through me, it was a huge, unexpected, weird and wonderfully thing that he did. You know, I couldn't love people. I'm selfish by nature. But when his love would flow and his compassion would come through, I love that about him, that he would let us feel his compassion for others. And so as I was praying today, I was praying for a couple people that are really going through some tough situations. And, you know, sometimes all you can do is pray. You know, sometimes they don't need counsel. They don't need your opinion. They just need some praying in the Spirit. You know, because the heavens hear the prayer. God hears those prayers, and breakthrough will come somehow, some way. But it also involves engagement of repentance and some deliverance. You know, because truthfully, we can walk in every blessing of the Lord if we are not opening the doors to the blessings of the enemy. You know, and so there's this dual citizenship, the flesh realm that we live in, and the heavenly realm, and oftentimes there's a tug of war over our soul and our thoughts and our behavior, and it is hard to discipline the flesh. And I remember talking about this, I think might have been the last time I preached, about, you know, fasting is a good way to discipline the flesh. I fasted and fasted and fasted and fasted, and it really helped remove or expose the issues in my own life and my heart. You know, because when you're not filled with sugar and the goodness of food and the pleasures of the earth, it's kind of like you're raw in front of the Lord in a mirror, and you can see the issues clearer because things aren't so chattery, because you're dialing in the Spirit. And so that is one of the reasons why I fasted a lot. Now, regarding the book of Haggai, I got this big old long teaching here for, you know, but I'm just going to go off by the Spirit of God because it's easier that way. But what, there's a parallel in the Spirit, and that's what I'm trying to get at. You know, that's Old Covenant, And then there's the New Testament. And in the New Testament, there is the born-again spirit, the believer, who, you know, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is like a stick of dynamite that goes off inside you. You know, it's just like, you know, junk goes. And so I'm not teaching under the law or the law. What I'm trying to show is the parallel of the Old Testament of what they were doing and what happened. And I'm tying it into today of some of the situations in our lives that we're starting to grumble about or get tired and weary about. And I'm going to show you in here the similarity, and then I have a great solution. So you guys ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, okay, good. Okay, so first of all, this Haggai was a prophet. He's a minor prophet. He's in one of the ends of the Old Testament. So if you're going to look it up, it's towards the back. It's before Malachi. And it's, I don't know the other one. But what I want to say about that is, you know, the minor prophet had a lot to say in a short amount of time. And he was, you know, he's only used for a small season to proclaim God's word and direction. And then we really don't hear about him too much after that. And so sometimes, isn't it awesome when somebody when God uses somebody and it's a nobody, and then it's a great word of God for correction and direction, and then you never see him again? Has that happened to you? Mm-hmm. You know, like somebody will come, a billboard, a word of God, you know, something, a message you hear, and you've been contending and believing and struggling. What? I'm missing it. And then that moment, God's using a nobody to show you the keys to victory. And I remember one time when I was trying so hard to not lean on my own understanding and in all my ways acknowledge him and he would make my path straight. That was one of the hardest things, trusting God. I struggled with that for so long. And I would like contend and fast and you know, I had the trust mug and I tried everything to get to let go and to walk in faith, but the flesh was pulling me. And the Spirit was calling me, and I'll never forget this. I went to go to a service, a conference, and they had a guest speaker, and the guest speaker worked at Taco Bell, and God gave him a download, and he wrote it on Taco Bell receipts. And when he started to share that, people started getting up and leaving because he wasn't the famous speaker, you know, the one that they're used to hearing. And I was grieved that they were leaving because this man had a message from God. I could see he had written it, scratched it out. And I'm going to tell you something. That message was for me. And it was talking about trusting God. And I was like blown out by this young guy, that was a young kid, who got this great message from the Lord. And God made sure that I heard it because I had been crying out. And so if the famous speaker was there, I would have not heard the message that the Lord had for me. And so I just think that's so cool how God does things like that. You know, that man heard and delivered a word in due season, and he didn't add to it. And it was an incomplete word, but it was perfect for me. It was exactly the food I needed from heaven to go back and ask some deeper questions. And so with Haggai, he's talking about, you know, first of all, this is, now I'm going to back up just a little bit. So they were in captivity, they got released, and they go back, and this is what Haggai says. Are your own houses really more important than your allegiance to God? So what they were doing is, you know, God wanted them to rebuild the temple, but they, you know, they had things to do because they had been in bondage so long, and they wanted to make their life comfortable, so to speak. They wanted to put their curtains up and get their cupboards full. And I look at that and I think about when we're born again. You know, most people I know that were born again came from horrible circumstances. And when they heard the gospel message, they were like, this is good news. Yes, I'm going to eat this good news. I am going to receive Jesus Christ. This is the greatest thing ever. And oftentimes after that, the sad thing is, once, because God rescues, saves, things open, the blessings of God are there. And then there's like, oh, I've been living in this shack. I need to put curtains up. And so I don't have any money in my bank account. I'm going to work overtime. And so in the natural, oftentimes we get pulled, or there's a temptation to get pulled to do the tasks of the earthly way. And so this is kind of what they were doing. They kind of just kind of were like, you know, I'm in it for myself. And I see that often, and I was like that when I first came to the Lord. I was in it for myself. What's in it for me? What do you got for me, God? And as you continue to press in or continue to go to church or continue to read the Word, there's a transformation that takes place in your heart where it's no longer you, you know, it's Christ in you. It's the hope of glory. It's I'm in it for God. And what's God, what does God need today? And what about his sheep? How can I bring a cup of cold water to somebody who doesn't even know how to hold a cup? And so I'm kind of like going Old Testament to today. And so bear with me. And so God calls Haggai and says, tells them, are your own houses really more important than your allegiance to God? This neglect is equivalent to the covenant rebellion of their ancestors. And he's talking about when they were in the wilderness for 40 years and they were like not trusting God or believing, and they were, you know, grumbling and complaining. And today, oftentimes, when we get a bad report, do we grumble and complain or do we trust God? And I'm going to tell you something. The it's easy if you're flabby in the natural to grumble and complain. If you're sharp in the spirit, you're going to trust God. You're going to know God is good no matter what, that he's got your back, so to speak. And so, but this it doesn't oftentimes just happen overnight. It happens through the trials and beginning through relationship and fellowship of knowing that he's really good and he has your best interest and that he's not going to hurt you, that he loves you unconditionally and is cheering you on. And so, and so he talks about, you know, because right now they're struggling because they're focused on their own house. They're struggling. There's droughts, there's famine, there's hunger, there's lack of provision because they're in the natural realm. They're not focused on God and his kingdom. They're not focused on building God's building, so to speak. And so because they're focused on their own issues, you get your own issues. You get the package of the natural. And so it's very tempting to be wooed by whatever. There's always a something that is trying to woo us, whether it's provision or whether it's promotion or relationship or some type of satisfaction, temporary satisfaction. Those are all temporary. But there is a place in the spirit where God will meet all our needs and blow the top off of anything in the natural. It won't even compare to the goodness and the better benefits and the best of the house when we choose to follow him and serve him with our whole heart. And so part of my problem was I wanted to serve him, but I wasn't in my whole heart. It was part of my heart. And as I continued to grow in him and he would expose these issues of selfishness in my heart, I would repent. And sometimes not right away. Sometimes I would be rebelling and saying, but God, he will not override his kingdom principles. Even if I'm going, but God, don't you love me? God, you know, he has a system in place. He's got a kingdom that he's designed for us to walk in the blessings, and he won't change it to satisfy a pleasure or a need in the flesh. Now, in the spirit, I've seen mountains move, and I've seen situations, you know, just break down to nothing because in this, and remember, it happens in the spirit first before it manifests in the natural. So it behooves us to seek the kingdom of God first instead of the pleasures of this earth. It's a complete upside down way of how the kingdom of God works, because we've been taught seek first your pleasure and seek first your kingdom, because if you have enough, you'll be okay. And if you think about that, have you ever had enough in the natural where you're okay? No, because you always want more. And then the kingdom of God, you can always go after him and get more of his spirit, which is life and godliness, and it's full of his blessings. That is ever flowing. And so I'm saying this because sometimes we justify our behavior. And sometimes when we're in a trial or being squeezed, we are in the process of understanding that we've been justifying the way we think, act, or believe. And so, I'm saying this from experience. There's been times when I thought I was dead right about something, and God would confront me, and I'd be like wanting to argue with him or justify or explain, but I know he knows everything. He knows best. And I know that because his word is true. His word is true. And so I have to be careful. I've had correction after correction, and I'm talking the big stuff, and then it starts to the little stuff, and then it starts to the slivers and the fines, the fines. And many people never get past the big stuff. And I'm not condemning, I'm saying, come on. Let's ask the Lord to deal with the issues in our heart. Let's start going. And here's what I know. There's no promotion in the spirit. Think about the parable of the sower when God hired the people to work in his fields, and he paid them all the same wage. When you get this, you get this. And then you accelerate in the speed of God, not in the speed of the natural. And that's what I like. This took me years to get. I love when somebody gets it today and then, boof, goes past me. I think that is so cool. I'm like, you go, and then tell me what you get and help me get to the next, because that is how the kingdom of God operates. It's not tainted. You can't cheat his system. And that's what I love. When I was young, I cheated many systems. The stuff I did, I learned how to manipulate systems in the natural. And I spent a lot of wasted time doing that. And I'm not proud of it, but I know one thing. You can't cheat your way into God. And you can't fake your way in your walk in God. And there's a fragrance. See, here's the thing. Many people think, well, if I dress a certain way or carry a Bible, I'm holy and people will think I'm holy. First of all, we don't even measure that. That's all filth and trash. But there's a fragrance in heaven. There's a light. There's a light of God that each one of us has. And it either draws the blessings or it repels the blessings. And so what I mean by that is tend to your garden. Tend to what the Lord is asking you to tend to. Tend to the issues. If you've got an issue with anger, let's not pretend you don't. Let's deal with that. Let's go to the Lord and say, you know what? I think you're telling me I've got an issue with anger. Will you show me where this came from? Will you help me get delivered? And oftentimes it's either an inner vow, it's a generational thing, a word curse, and some trickery. And you can renounce that agreement, and you can repent, and you can walk in what God's word says about that situation. That's how easy it is. See, you can't pay $50 to get delivered and walk in holiness. It costs your words, it costs time in God, and it costs pride, releasing yourself from a spirit of pride. One of the biggest things I see in the body of Christ is pride. It's a stumbling block. It's like, how the Bible talks about the plank? Work on the plank in your own eye instead of that little speck in mine. I see planks all the time. Boom, there goes another one. And what I mean by that is because of brokenness from years of issues that we never dealt with, as we grow up, we build walls of protection to help us not be hurt again. And so we grow in pride instead of grow in love and forgiveness. And so pride is a fence post. It is a fence. It's a line of defense that is very hard to break down if your heart isn't open to it. If your heart is open to it, it's like butter. It's just melting in the microwave or melting under the sun. It'll just happen because your heart is right. So pride is the one thing about the spirit of pride is it blinds. It's a blinding spirit. So most people don't know they have it, although their behavior patterns manifest it all the time. And so when there's an issue of pride, here's one. If you are struggling in areas, and maybe you're hearing a message like this tonight, and the Holy Spirit is like prompting you to deal with one of your issues, and you immediately go, well, I don't think I have that. That's not me. If you deflect, it probably is you. Most of the time it is. And so that's like it's almost like an ingrown toenail. It's like you don't even know that it's growing crooked until it gets poked and it hurts. And then you're like, well, where'd that come from? Oh, let's get that fixed. And so you got to soak a toenail. You got to soak that thing to get it soft. And you got to soak your heart to get it soft so that the Lord can go in and pull out that little hangnail thing that, you know, bothers us or cuts it out. Sometimes it's just surgery on the, you know, on the table, and you just get, the Lord just cuts it and brings forth the healing balm. And it's good, you know. And sometimes when you're dealing with stuff like this, it's okay to cry. It's crying is a healing agent for your soul. And you know, Jesus wept. He was a crier. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with crying. It doesn't have to do with being yourself, showing yourself strong or better or safe. Crying is very important. And so as I go into this, I'm trying to get us to understand that some of the issues that we have, whether they're physical, whether they're emotional, whether they're financial, it's related to not tending to the temple of God, but tending to our own deal. I want to do this. I've only got so many years on earth, and I'm going to make sure I get this done. You know, wallpaper the house or whatever, you know. I don't know. I'm just making that up. But what I'm saying is we have to be careful of our goals versus what the Lord is calling us to do. Because sometimes, well, I'm not going to say sometimes, all the time, he's called us to take the lowly place. And from that, you know, think about it. You know, Paul was a slave to Christ. You know, some people get offended when we say, well, I'm a slave to Christ. Well, I'm not. I'm his son. I'm his heir. I'm his... Well, you know what? We start at the bottom and we grow in relationship. He doesn't hand you the keys to the kingdom and say, take off in the Ferrari until he tends to the garden. He tends to our heart to mature us so that we don't floor the car and end up crashed in a ditch. You know, he wants to teach us the responsibilities in the spiritual realm. He wants to teach us etiquette, protocol, and sonship and daughtership in the kingdom before he just, you know, hands us a key to whatever. And so I remember some of the best times I had in the Lord were, you know, like I remember when we used to meet at the Elgin office for prayer. I loved that office. It was like my second home. I'd go there and I'd hang out there and I'd pray, and it just was a blessing for me in a very hard season in my life. And you know, oftentimes I'd spend the night there just and flip the chair upside down and use that as my pillow. And, you know, I would hang out with the Lord all night. It was just incredible. But, I never paid attention to the carpets needing cleaning or anything like that. And one day I looked at the toilet and I thought, that thing's disgusting. And I thought, I'm going to clean it the next time, because I didn't, you know. And so I went there, and I went early, and I cleaned the toilet. And I want to tell you what happened to me. Jesus showed up in the bathroom, and I ended up on the floor, like undone because of his presence. That was his toilet I was cleaning. You know, that was a wonderful moment. And people, a lot of people will miss the moments in God because they're beneath them. You know, well, I'm not going to pick up. I can't tell you how many times I've picked up toilet paper in a conference that we're having because it's the Lord's house. You know, oftentimes people are piggy and they think it's all about me and whatever. And I'm not even going to go down that path about women in the bathroom. but sometimes it's pretty disgusting. And I am not going to leave God's house disgusting. I don't care. I'm never going to be better than anybody to pick up toilet paper on the floor. I don't care what people think of me. That's God's, I'm representing God's house, his kingdom, and if somebody made a mess in there, who cares? I'll clean it up. I'll be the first to clean it up. Sometimes I don't want to, but I know it brings blessings. God, it brings favor. It brings promotion. And so some people want to be at the top. There is no top. Let me just tell you that. The place to be is at his feet. That is the heart that he wants us to have. That is the posture he wants us to have. Sometimes we want to be used greatly and mightily of God. We want signs and wonders and miracles. Clean a toilet.
Yeah.
Clean a toilet. Pray in tongues. Spend time praying in tongues. Build up your spiritual muscles. Because what's going to happen is, let's say you skip. Here's the thing. This is cheating God. This is cheating God's kingdom, buying your way. You cheat it. You dress right. You speak right. You listen and copy somebody else's message, and you preach it. And let's just say God shows up. And you think, well, look at that. It worked, and I did it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Let me tell you a couple things that happens. First of all, is it a spirit of divination working through you? Some people won't even recognize it in the house. I've seen it in the house of God, where a spirit of divination comes in and is ministering, and people eat it like it's God's word. It's disgusting. We don't talk about that in church, do we? You're like, well, what is that? Listen, I had a familiar spirit one time come to me. I think I was here. And I was giving words of knowledge, and a familiar spirit came to me and whispered a prophetic word in my ear. And I looked at that thing and said, the blood of Jesus. And it would have been an accurate prophetic word, but it was not of the Lord. We need to discern who's who and what's what. And so if somebody's all dressed and got the perfect message and you see signs and wonders, are they of God? Be careful what package you eat. I didn't know we were going here tonight, but listen. Sometimes we're so desperate for a touch of God that we think we have to get it in a church service. And then when we get it in a church service, we think, oh, good. Listen, you can get a touch from God anywhere, anytime. Close your eyes and just start glorifying him. And then what will happen is, boom, there's a connection in God. There's nothing special. You don't have to do weird stuff. There's a communication. The Spirit is open. If you're born again, Spirit-filled, the communication link is there. Open the Word. Boom, Word of God, alive in your heart. It is important to be careful of what you're listening to. Not everything is of God, even if they're saying, thus say the Lord. And we saw this. And people are eating it up like junk and candy. I'll never forget when the Lord told me this many years ago. Never feed my people leftovers. I knew what he was talking about because I dine with him daily. And the words he gives me, I release. I'm not holding something on a shelf because I didn't spend time with them to release a word. Most people would never know the difference. They wouldn't know the difference. They'd think, oh, a word from God. It is a moldy 3-month-old word because I got too busy to spend time with God, and I need to be seen a man, so I deliver this word with some extra emotion. Listen. That's a temptation for many, many people. When you start getting used or you're too busy for God, it's not good. We need to be at his feet continually. And I'm totally off of Haggai, but we need to be continually at his feet. And so they were busy building their own kingdoms, so to speak. There's many people who are busy building their own kingdoms that are saying, thus say the Lord. There's a season, I hate to say season, there is, because it's not. It's a shift that has taken place, and many people don't know it. They're still doing it the way they used to do it, and they're not getting the freshness of the Spirit of God wooing them or communing with them. And so they're frustrated, so they're fleshing out, and they're studying the Word in their flesh, and they're bringing forth a message through their intellect, but not of the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, that is dangerous. God is correcting us. He is redirecting us. He is challenging us to believe his word and go after him. Spend time. Sit and spend time in his presence and just glorify him. Well, I can't. I got kids. I can't. I work. I can't because my husband doesn't like me. I can't because blah, blah, blah. This is something that can never be taken away from you. It is a choice to sit, close your eyes, and fellowship with him. It's like exercise. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. It's addicting, I'll tell you that, because it's the life source that fuels your soul. And when you connect to the life force, you can't not want him. And so you can't buy your way in. You can't cheat your way in. There's a lot of cheaters and counterfeits out there feeding the body of Christ crap. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been in services where, woo, the Holy Ghost is moving in here. No, it's not. I've been in conferences where they where people they'll get a microphone and they'll release a prophetic word, but they add to it and add to it, and people are like, "Yeah, keep going, keep going." And it's not even the Lord; it's just knowledge they've picked up that they're parroting out that is not filled with the Spirit. It's void. It's void. It's just it's a dead word. And I'm not looking at you guys over here. That's just where I'm preaching tonight. So. Okay. So I'm going to try and keep going on here. So Haggai's message, it was a motivation to start rebuilding the temple, kind of like tonight. The message is a motivation to start to refocus back into the original intent of why you were born again and said yes to Jesus Christ. It's to bring us back to the center of our life stinks without him. And I don't want to go ahead of him. And so during the process of all this, we have to deal with the little foxes, the little stuff that causes us to stumble and backslide. I'm just going to talk about it. We can't pretend anymore that things are okay. Because here's what's going to happen. If you continue to deny that you have issues in your heart, the callus goes over your heart. And when that happens, that's scary. I've had it happen to me. And then I've had to say, circumcise my heart afresh and new, Lord. Please circumcise my heart. I don't want to be like this. Listen, when the Spirit is wooing, get on your face, pull out your pencil, do whatever it takes to repent, because he doesn't half-whisper the problem. He'll show it to you bold and say, this is it, kid. And then it's up to say, oh my God, you're right. Lord, help me, I'm a wretch. I listened to a message a couple months ago on the holiness of God. I cried through the whole thing and repented through the whole thing. It changed my heart, and I was so thankful to hear that message. And I wasn't even backslid. Listen, we need to dedicate time. We need to stop justifying why we are the way we are. Listen, everybody's had hard times, but yet some people come out of them. We have to stop blaming, first of all, our parents, okay, or the system, or your brothers and sisters, and say, you know what, that did happen, and it stunk. But Lord, I'm asking you to heal me. I'm asking you to deliver me and remove the memories so that it's not even a remnant in my thought process anymore. I have seen him do that to myself. I have seen him do that to others. Sometimes I have prayed for people who have faked wanting to get help. First of all, let me just say I've prayed for people at the altar who their parents have pushed up kids who have been addicted to pornography or drugs and want them delivered, and the kid does not want deliverance. It's no different. It's the same spirit behind it. If you have issues and pretend you want to get free because it looks good, you are dancing with the devil. I'm not being harsh, am I?
No.
Okay. So, I've danced with the devil. I know the outcome. I know the end. It's destruction. It's never a blessing. It's always destruction. It hurts to deal with the issues of our heart. But once you deal with one issue of your heart and see how good God is and how he just saves the day, so to speak, rewrites the whole screen, you know, fresh paint on everything, a perspective that you never saw because now you're from a heavenly perspective instead of the victim perspective. One time is all it takes and you're hooked on self-deliverance. You're hooked on holiness. You're hooked on what's in it for the kingdom. What can I do for the king? But the battle is, many people are cons. I was a con. I know what it's like. I could sell you anything and get you to buy it because I have the gift of sales, okay? I've had it. I was born with it. I used that to manipulate people lots of years of my life when I was a fallen, backslid person. That conning I had a deal with when I got filled with the Spirit, because it was a direct conflict with the lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. The two cannot coexist. It was one of the hardest things I ever did to let that defense go, because it worked so well for so many years. Now, when I say it worked so well, it didn't bring blessings, okay? It worked so well for me to get to the next place, which was never of God, let me just say that. And so if you've ever been into drugs, if you've ever been on the street, if you've ever been in bad relationships, meaning sleeping around, chances are you're a con, okay? I'm just saying it like it is. And if you're a con, you might be conning yourself. Now, you can't con the Holy Spirit, because he knows all, sees all, and is all. But, I had to get delivered of a street. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was called, but I was like a gangster street type person. And a turfy. I was turfy. I think about that now, and I want to just vomit. It's so hard to be associated with that today. But I was turfy, and I'd fight you. I'd fight you. I'd take you down and manipulate. If you're still living that lifestyle, you may not know it, because it's such a part of your personality. I had to get confronted. I got confronted on that foul spirit. And when I got confronted, I'm like, you're right. I don't want deliverance, but you're right. I'm not ready for deliverance yet. But then the day came when I was ready for deliverance. I had to process it. First of all, I was shocked, because I didn't know that everybody didn't think and act like I did. I thought it was normal, okay? That's a trap. And so to trust that you're wrong and your way is wrong, your survival method of stealing from the government and stealing from your family and lying to everybody and trying to get to the top and then acting like you're perfect in every way and that you got the best family around, all that stuff was fake, garbage, plastic junk, but I was living that. I had to come out from underneath that, and only Jesus Christ could help me do that. And that's when you lay on the face and you're like, Lord, I'm a mess. I am so sorry. Help me. And I didn't know what kind of help I needed, but he did. And he slowly, one after one, I dealt with these weird inner vows I had, dealt with the emotional trauma of being on the streets, dealt with drug addiction, hurting people, broken words and promises. It wasn't just, the bad stuff. I remember promising a church that I was affiliated with, I remember promising them I was going to sow seed for their new building, and then I got mad at them because we had a church split, and I thought, I ain't giving them my seed. Listen, I made a covenant promise, and I was being robbed of the blessings of God, and that was one of the reasons why. And so what did I do? I repented. God showed it to me. I didn't even remember it. God showed it to me. I repented. I called the pastor of that church and said, listen, you probably don't know me. My name's blah, blah. This is what I promised back then. And first of all, I'm sorry for every word curse I spoke over your life, because when you're going through a divorce or a church split, you're not speaking kind words. You're picking sides. And so I said, listen, I am so sorry. I pledged with my husband this amount of money, and I never gave you this amount of money. And the guy released me from the pledge. But I said, listen, it was a pledge, and I'm going to send you this money. I know your building's done. Do with it what you want. And I fulfilled an obligation. And at that time, money was very tight in my life, because I had all these weird open doors and problems of words I spoke that I never promised, promises and stuff. I had to clean up a lot of the stuff of my past. I didn't pretend it didn't happen. I dealt with it like a responsible kingdom citizen. Amen. And so, Haggai kind of called people out and said, listen, stop focusing on your own stuff. The house is a mess. Now listen, the house of God is representing our house of God. It's a parable. Stop pretending things are good. Deal with the house of God. Deal with the holy temple. And here's the thing. If you don't deal with it, you're going to miss the great revival. You're going to miss the blessings of God. You're going to miss a deep fellowship with him that is undescribable, ultimately wonderful. You wonder why? Maybe it's because you got an open door. A deal with the house. Let's deal with our house. And so that guy went back and followed up a month later. Do I need to do the same? Here's the thing. So Haggai, he follows up because they start. They're like, okay, I'm going to deal with the house. And they are like, you know, this ain't nothing like King Solomon's temple. It's kind of plain. It's kind of blah. Maybe we're not doing it right. The enemy is sowing seeds of doubt to stop them from rebuilding the temple of God. Is the enemy sowing seeds of doubt to stop you from building the temple of God which dwells inside of you? Are you comparing Solomon's temple to your temple? Are you comparing Holly's temple to Andrew Womack's temple? Your walk to somebody else's walk. God has designed you uniquely with a purpose and a blueprint for his good pleasure, not your good pleasure. We are vessels, holy vessels, consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ for his good pleasure, to do with as he wills. We have to come away, we have to separate ourselves from the idea that it's all about me, that God's going to use me, and just be happy with fellowshipping with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Could that be enough? Why are we biting on the carrot of fame in ministry or being used or raising somebody from the dead? Let's bite on the life of God. Let's chew from the vine and be whole in him. And then if he says, hey, touch that person and boom, they come out of the grave, so be it. It's not us. It's him working through us. And so the second, when he visits them again, they're complaining and they're starting to get weary. Are you in a trial and are you weary? Has the trial been a long trial? Have you been working on the temple and it's just like not going anywhere? Have you been working on your temple and it's like, you know, another day? Listen, faint not. Faint not. I'm telling you, pull on the past experiences that you've had with the Lord. And if you haven't had a past experience, tonight is your night. You're having an experience right now with him. Pull on. You can feel his love. You can feel his favor. Pull on that and believe it and receive it and watch that seed of faith start to grow. It's easy to stay focused on the negative because there's a pull in this earth in the negative. Everything is negative in the earth. Everything is designed to be decayed and fall apart. That's the earthly system. But you can choose to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light from a heavenly perspective. Say, Lord, I want to see my chair in heaven. I'm supposed to be seated in heavenly places. Show me what that looks like. Now, don't go heady. Don't go heady and think, I need to see what... Listen, by faith as a little child. Faith as a little child. Chase the bubbles. Have fun with God. Let's go back to being little kids in the kingdom of God instead of grown-ups trying to figure out the next thing that God's doing. Listen, sit with God and he'll tell you what he's doing. You don't have to listen to somebody. You can listen to the Spirit of the living God and he'll reveal himself to you in his plan. And here's what's going on. If you don't take time to tend to these things that we're talking about tonight, I don't know how much longer the grace will be here for this. I remember when the grace came, I'm going to guess, I don't keep track of time in the natural. I remember when the grace came to start dealing with the issues of our hearts. And it was easy because his grace was here. But there's going to be a window that closes and it'll be hard. Now, I'm not saying it won't be possible because with God, all things are possible. But wouldn't you rather be the butter now that's melted in the sun and just be poured out than a hard, cold lump of butter from the fridge that has to take time to thaw? There's a choice that God is asking us to make. And here's the thing. Once you accept, yeah, I'm going to make that choice, you can't do it. He will spend time with you teaching you those areas. And I started to say this about pretending. Listen, Do you remember when Holly gave the prophetic word that God is sweeping the church, and we saw all kinds of people get exposed? And then the next word was, he's sweeping the pews, so to speak, us. He's like, showing us compromises in our heart, and if we didn't deal with them, we were going to get exposed. You know, it was going to come out. And I've seen it, and I had to repent. There was stuff in my heart that I had compromised, and I repented, and you know, grace covers a multitude of sins. Not like I was out doing anything bad, but the slivers, we're talking about the fines. He's working on the fines right now, not the big logs. It's the small stuff. So maybe you're just getting started, and you're dealing with the big logs in your heart and stuff. That's great. Think of the parable. Think about the parable. It's not too late. We get paid the same. You know what I'm talking about? With the scriptures, you know, they came into work. One started at 8 a.m. This is what you make. Another comes in at 12 p.m. You get the same amount. And the other one starts at, I'm making this up, but it's the same parable. 3 p.m., we all get the same. It's not too late. There's acceleration and promotion. And so, you know, I've prayed with people who, I need prayer. I need deliverance. And you pray, and there's a brick wall. It's like a brick wall. It's like a wall of protection that would be a violation of the Spirit to jump over, because they truly don't want deliverance. They truly don't want healing. What they want is to be seen of man as a holy person. It's a sick thing, but it's out there. It's a twisted way, but it's a perverted way in the churches today. And listen, I'm not here to peek in your windows. I'm not here to jump over the walls. What I'm here to tell you is, deal with this stuff now, because the grace is here for that. There's coming a day, I don't know the exact day, where the grace will lift, and it's going to be painful to deal with this stuff, because it's going to be like not good. That's all I'm going to say. And so you can say one thing. Just be careful. I'm going to say, be careful of being double-minded. I had that issue, and I don't know if I have it anymore. I don't know. If the Lord exposes it, I'm going after it and getting delivered. But I know what double-minded is like. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. That is a prayer to help us with double-mindedness. Lord, help me. I do believe, but I don't know if I believe. And for some people that need deliverance or emotional healing, maybe you got that wall built up. I do want help. But Lord, help me with my unbelief. Prayers like that will bring forth deliverance, you know, because we have the natural ability to self-protect. And I get that. But there comes a time when it's time to come out of the hurt and brokenness and be a true woman or man of God that God created in his image, instead of walking in the brokenness of the fallen nature, that identity that you've taken on. And if you followed Spirit of God, we're talking identity all the time, and there's tools on the website that help you get free, and prayer lines and conferences and all that. So that was just two. So their morale was low for finishing the project. Haggai reminds the people of the great prophetic promise of the future kingdom of God and his temple. He draws from the early prophets, reminding them of the promises. And he reminds them that there is going to be a kingdom of God, the New Jerusalem, that they get to be a part of if they faint not, if they clean up their house, so to speak, if they truly walk away from the wickedness and repent and come into fellowship. And so the third section, Haggai follows up 2 months later with a call to covenant faithfulness, calling back to the keys, engaging in purity and righteousness. And isn't that what the gospel message is about, the New Testament? It's about purity and righteousness. And as I was praying about this, I was like, Lord, give me a scripture, a parallel to the parable of what you're saying tonight. And he gave me Matthew 6:33. And that's one of my favorites, you know, and I'm just going to read it to you. First of all, before I do, before he gives that, he's talking about, he releases the Lord's Prayer, and then he's talking about the sparrow. Don't worry about anything, your Father in heaven knows what you need. And he's talking about, you know, focus on the kingdom. And then he shares the parable about, you know, the rich man accumulating wealth, expanding his personal estate, and securing his own fortune for his future. And that is the parallel. If you go back to Haggai, it's similar to building the paneled houses that he's talking about while ignoring God's house. And so the result is he tells his soul to eat, drink, and be merry. That's in the New Testament. He's like, eat, drink, and be merry, and blah, blah, blah. But God calls him a fool. Now, I don't ever want to be called a fool by God. I mean, I've had people call me fools, and it doesn't bother me. I'm like, eh. But if God ever called me a fool, I would cry my eyes out. You know, I would be weeping and saying, show me, Lord. I don't even know what that means. Help me. God called him out that night. He took him. You know, so there was some, I think there was some judgment because of his, the way he was acting. You know, he was kind of mocking God. And so both the New Testament and the Old Testament, the parallel is the New Covenant, the grace that Jesus provides, the grace is enough to walk us through releasing us from the bondages of the past. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work through it like with some formula. It's the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us that leads us through the path of righteousness. The righteousness of God and the holiness of God are the anchor in the Spirit that we cling to. And so if we, you can strive for holiness, you can strive for righteousness, but it becomes, because we're connected in the Spirit with Jesus, his righteousness is ours. And so we can connect in his righteousness, and the Holy Spirit will quicken us when we are unrighteous or if we're pulling into the flesh way. And so it's important not to neglect your spiritual house with the cares of the outside world. One of the biggest schemes I see is like a bill will come due or something will happen and we'll be like, ah, okay, here's one. The tree fell. You know, just a couple days ago in my life when that big storm came through, trees were everywhere, tree on the roof, trees in the pool, trees everywhere. And I looked at that and said, that's a big mess. And I knew that I was not going to take on that task by myself. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he's like, send out a text. And so I did. And people came and helped clean up the mess. I didn't take that on. And in fact, while it was going on, I actually went into the prayer B&B and started worshiping the King of Kings. I felt the urge in my heart to just glorify him and his kingdom, regardless of what it looked like in the natural. And I'm going to tell you something. It was a supernatural cleanup that took place. It really was. I mean, the devastation around us was massive. We just had some branches and maybe a hole in the roof, but it was fixed in 15 minutes. I don't think anybody's roof got fixed in 15 minutes yet. So I'm telling you, the cares of the world, even the cares of the world, they're not going to snare me into going into flesh mode to deal with it. Now, if I do get caught up in the flesh mode, I'm not saying I don't, but when it happens and I catch it, I am repenting and saying, Lord, I'm releasing this to you. I am not picking this up. Lord, what do you say? What do you want to do on this? And so I'm saying all this to say we need to take advantage of what's going on right now in the kingdom and build the foundation of God in us in a way with the help of the Holy Spirit, not some teaching that we heard, not this, one-on-one. What is God saying to me today and what are we working on today? And then do those simple steps instead of rebelling and saying, I'll do it later or it's too painful or I don't trust you. Now, if it's I don't trust you, then we practice leaning not on our understanding and acknowledging him. Just worship him. Just, I don't know, I don't trust you, I'm scared, help me, I don't know how to do this, but Lord, I'm going to worship you. I love you so much. I'm asking you to show me your kindness and goodness. Lord, I just want to worship you. And when you start fellowshipping, it builds this beautiful aroma where stuff just starts happening. It's supernatural. And that is the better way to live. Amen? Okay. You got anything? Okay. Father God, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, we just love you so much. And I know there's, you've stirred stuff because that's how you are. You know, we come here hungry. We want to change. But you're the one that helps us change. And so right now, I thank you for the ability through the Spirit of God to hear a word in season that brings forth change and correction and direction so that we grow closer to you and that we are really pure, living, holy vessels consecrated for your good pleasure. Because out of that relationship of it's all about you, you must increase, we must decrease. That is our heart. Lord, help us, teach us, and show us what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.